Good morning and welcome. You're listening to News18.com's Daybreak. Good morning, everyone. I'm Zoya Mateen, and you're listening to News18's Daybreak. Let's have a look at some of the top stories for the day. 3 days after Trinamool Congress's mega opposition rally, the BJP chief Amit Shah will be addressing a series of rallies in West Bengal starting from today in Malda district. The party had earlier scheduled to take out the Save the Democracy Rath Yatra, but was denied permission by the Supreme Court, who cited concerns of the law and order situation in the state. Subsequently, controversy had erupted after the Malda magistrate denied clearance for Shah's chopper to land because of upgradation work at the airport. However, permission was later issued after the BJP's general secretary wrote to the magistrate asking him why the state government helicopters were being allowed to land. Shah, who was just dismissed from AIMS after being treated for swine flu, will be addressing rallies in Jharghum, Birbhum, Nadia and South 24 Parganas districts. Now, the World Economic Forum, the annual gathering of more than 100 heads of states and the top executives of the 1,000 foremost global companies, is set to begin today in Davos in Switzerland. This year, the delegation from India includes Madhya Pradesh Chief Minister Kamal Nath, Union Commerce and Industry Minister Suresh Prabhu, and corporate giants including Gautam Adani, Mukesh Ambani, Sajjan Jindal, to name a few. The theme of this year's event will be Globalization 4.0, shaping a global architecture in the age of the fourth industrial revolution. The hearing of the defamation case filed by former Union Minister M.J. Akbar against journalist Priya Ramani, who had accused him of sexual harassment, will take place in Delhi court today. Last year, Ramani's Twitter post about an editor, who later revealed to be M.J. Akbar, inviting her to his hotel room for a job interview and asking her to sit on the bed with him, triggered a flurry of allegations from multiple women against Akbar. Following this, the former editor of Asian Age resigned as the Union Minister on 17th of October last year. The body of a labourer detected in the depths of the flooded rat hole coal mine in Meghalaya is likely to be retrieved today morning after the operation was suspended on Monday. Despite the possibility of disintegration, sources have said that attempts would be made to pull out the body to the surface. Family members of the victims from Lumthari and Chirang are expected to be present at the site when retrieval operation would resume in the presence of forensic experts and health department officials. Both the centre and the state government on Monday had told the Supreme Court that the rescue operation cannot be called off and no rescue agency would leave the site. According to district administration officials, the deceased is said to be wearing a pair of blue jeans and a red t-shirt, images of which were captured by the underwater ROV used in a joint operation by the NDRF Indian Navy divers. Now, a political storm seems to be brewing once again after a controversy around the EVMs, which is the electronic voting machines, erupted last evening in London. This happened in a press conference held by the Indian Journalists Association in London, where a US-based cyber expert, Saeed Shuja, claimed that the EVMs that were used in the 2014 general elections had been hacked. The Election Commission on Monday rubbished the sensational claims made by the London-based hacker and said that the EC refused to be a party of this motivated slugfest, reiterating that the machines were foolproof. The EC has further said that it is examining as to what legal action can and should be taken in the matter. An Indian cyber expert seeking political asylum in the US, Shujan claimed that the 2014 general elections were rigged through EVMs which can be hacked. He added, what's more is that Shuja added that he fled India in 2014 because he felt threatened in the country after the killing of some of his team members. Another shocking allegation made about the death of the Maharashtra BJP leader Gopinath Munde, who Shuja claimed was killed after he wanted to come forward with the truth of the hacked EVMs. Now, in a statement issued, the poll panel said that the EVMs used by it are manufactured by the Bharat Electronic Limited and the Electronics Corporation of India Limited. Limited under very strict supervisory and security conditions. It's said that there are rigorous standard operating procedures meticulously observed at all stages under the supervision of a committee of eminent technical experts constituted in 2010, and hence all the allegations made by the cyber expert are falsely implicated. Arun Jaitley in a tweet also came down on saying that after Rafale, the non-existent law waiver to 15 industrialists, the next big lie is the EVM hacking. Opposition parties. Now, Arun Jaitley in a tweet slammed the opposition for creating conspiracies around the EVM scandal. He said that after Rafale, the non-existent loan waiver to 15 industrialists, the next big lie of the Congress party seems to be of the EVM hacking. Opposition leaders, meanwhile, including Mamata Banerjee and Saurabh Bhardwaj and Chandrababu Naidu, have acknowledged the worrying claims, with Bhardwaj and Naidu even calling for a rollback to the paper ballots. Dr. Shiva Kumar Swami, the seer who headed the Sri Siddhganga Math in Karnataka's Tumakuru, has died at the age of 111 after weeks of treatment. Shiv Kumar Swami had been unwell for a while and had been on life support for the past 2 weeks. Now, Karnataka is set to observe 3-day mourning, and schools and colleges and government offices will be closed on Tuesday as a mark of respect for the seer who was revered by millions. Shiv Kumar Swami was often known as the walking god. Top political leaders have also mourned the death of the Lingayat seer, with rivals H.T. Kumaraswamy and Yediyurappa uniting in expressing their grief and addressing the media jointly. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, on the other hand, also posted a moving tribute on Twitter. The funeral rites of the Lingayat seer are set to be held today evening. Now, Nataka in Karnataka continues after a Congress lawmaker in Karnataka has now accused a colleague of assaulting him during their stay at a resort on the outskirts of Bengaluru. Anand Singh was allegedly thrashed, abused and threatened by MLA J.N. Nagesh on Saturday evening. Mr. Ganesh has been suspended till an inquiry by the Congress committee headed by Karnataka Deputy Chief Minister G. Parmeshwara is done. Anand Singh has told the police that Ganesh beat him up with a stick, pushed him to the wall and threatened to kill him. He also claimed he would finish his career, he alleged. The police have filed an FIR against Ganesh, who claims that he was injured in the brawl. The Congress, which had driven 76 of the party's 80 legislators in the Karnataka Assembly to the Eagleton Resort in order to thwart what they describe as the BJP's attempts to poach congressmen, has since then given multiple versions on why Anand Singh had to be rushed to the hospital. While D.K. Shivkumar, a Karnataka minister and senior party leader, dismissed reports of a fight, his brother and party legislator D.K. Suresh said that Anand Singh went to the hospital after experiencing chest pain. Meanwhile, another party leader, Zameer Ahmed, claimed it was nothing but a disagreement between what he calls friends. Now, two of Congress's 80 lawmakers are still missing and have been sent notice by the party for skipping a headcount on Friday. Anand Kumar, who had also been off the grid for days, made a comeback to the party fold only last week. Mehul Choksi, one of the main accused in the Punjab National Bank fraud case, has surrendered his Indian passport to the Indian High Commission in Guyana months after he took citizenship of the Caribbeans. Now, Choksi is one of the alleged masterminds over the 13 crore PNB fraud case and the uncle of the fugitive Nirav Modi, who took citizenship of the Caribbean countries last year. Sources confirmed that he has surrendered his passport on Monday, but added that the Indian government is still pursuing the case for Choksi's extradition. The formal surrender of Choksi's passport was expected, as India does not permit dual citizenship, and the fugitive dwellers taking up citizenship of the Caribbean island of Antigua and Barbuda in November last year implied that he would lose his Indian citizenship. However, the fact that Choksi is no longer an Indian citizen adds a layer of complication to the efforts to get him back to face a trial in the PNB scam. That said, India has been able to obtain the extradition of several foreigners accused of crimes in India in the past, the latest being Christian Michel. The key factor in such cases remains India's diplomatic clout with the country concerned and New Delhi's ability to obtain its help in bringing a fugitive to justice. All right, everybody, that's all for today. As always, we'll be back again tomorrow, same time. In the meantime, please do not forget to subscribe to our newsletter, Daybreak, at news18.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a good day. I'm Zoya Mateen, signing off.
Thank you for listening. Stay updated by visiting news18.com.